For some people, returning home means going back to a place. For others, it means connecting back to our traditions or homesteading roots. The coronavirus pandemic has made that desire even stronger over the past several months. We're finding that with a little more time on our hands, a lot of us turned to traditional skills and practices as one way of coping with the challenges. So we've baked bread or started a garden, and some folks here in Appalachia have returned to community traditions of raising and butchering livestock at home. Folkways Corps reporter Nicole Musgrave found two people in Floyd County, Kentucky, who are teaching others how to process meat at home.
In eastern Kentucky and throughout the rural South, it was once common for families to butcher a hog every winter, an annual tradition known as Hog Killing Day. 45-year-old Frank Martin grew up in Langley, Kentucky, in a family that raised and butchered their own hogs. He lives on the same property today, and he remembers the feeling of waking up as a child on Hog Killing Day.
The excitement of waking up that morning knowing that all your uncles were going to be coming over and your family members, everybody's going to get together, and the comparison to going somewhere that you've never been and you're so excited about it, and you get there and it's as beautiful as you thought it would be. That's kind of like the same feeling come that morning. It's like, all right, let's go. We're killing all, you know what I mean? You've done all. And
it had been 30 years since Frank felt that excitement of Hog Killing Day. But this past spring, just after the World Health Organization declared a global pandemic, he decided to process a hog with his two sons. At the time, news outlets were beginning to report that meatpacking plants across the country were closing due to coronavirus outbreaks among workers.
COVID-19 has left some shelves at grocery stores bare, and now there's a concern that meat shortages are possible.
I was talking with one of my friends at work, and he's like, you know, they're talking like there might be a meat shortage, and you know, we're just in general conversation. He's like, we need to get us some hogs.
While this initial conversation was prompted by reports about potential disruptions to the supply of meat, that wasn't Frank's primary reason for butchering a hog. With his two sons home from school because of the pandemic, Frank saw this as an opportunity to pass on the skills and the memories associated with home hog killings.
I want these boys to be exposed to this. I want to teach them that this is how their grandfathers got their meat. And that's one of the things that we did this for, is to show the boys that you can be independent and self-reliant in uncertain times, especially.
For Frank's oldest son, Max, helping his dad gave him a whole new appreciation for how meat gets to the table.
Knowing where your ham comes from. I mean, you know that it comes from a pig, but I guess you don't really know until you do it, like how much work goes into it.
Now, with the help he had from his sons, Frank has a freezer full of vacuum-sealed meat.
That is the actual whole ham that we packaged. Here is, which we're going to fix these probably tomorrow. Those are ribs from where we processed it.
And he's not alone. Frank has noticed that friends around Floyd County have a revived interest in processing their own meat.
I've seen a lot of people looking for chickens this year. A lot of people asking if anybody has any hogs. So obviously this pandemic's created a circumstance where people's looking to do more of those traditional things.
About 6 miles down the road in Hueysville, Kentucky, 34-year-old Misty Shepherd also knows a lot about the hog killing tradition. As an adult, she's continued her family's practice of processing meat at home. She butchers a hog every 3 to 5 years. For Misty, knowing how an animal was raised and worked up gives insight into how healthy the meat is. The way a hog looks is also important.
The color, the fat content, how it wiggles when it's moving, the eyes and the skin color, make sure it's not pale, it's got to be pretty. It takes a lot. I mean, years of experience to be able to walk up and just say, that's a good hog.
When looking for a good hog, Misty typically buys locally from people she knows in eastern Kentucky. But this year was different. With so many meatpacking plants closed, farmers were left overstocked and looking to sell their animals for cheap.
right now where this virus is going on, these farmers are having to just kill their hogs because they can't sell them and they have new litters coming on and stuff. So these hogs actually come from out of state that we got.
With the prospect of higher prices and bare shelves in supermarket meat aisles, Misty noticed others in the community taking advantage of discounted livestock. But this created another challenge to the local food supply.
A lot of friends and people are buying hogs and buying cows, and the slaughterhouses that did stay open in this area, that did take the precautions and stuff, are already booked. So now they have this hog, and they can't get it killed, they can't get it worked up, and they have no place to put it. So it's kind of like, it's a huge burden on them.
Over the past several months, people have reached out to Misty for advice on what to do with the animals they've purchased. A lot of her friends have the same regret and often say the same thing.
I wish I paid attention. I wish I'd have paid more attention growing up, watching them do this. They remember certain parts of working up a hog or a beef or something like that, but they don't remember all the process.
But Misty does remember all the process, including one of the final steps to butchering a hog, rendering the lard. Standing at her kitchen counter, Misty takes a slab of hog fat and cuts it up into small pieces. The pieces then go into a large aluminum pot to cook over low heat, where they transform from slick pink to crispy brown. As the fat cooks, it hisses and pops, releasing a golden liquid. This process of rendering lard produces two products, liquid lard and solid cracklings. Misty uses lard for cooking, baking, and canning, to make soaps and salves, and as a wood conditioner. She'll save the cracklings to add to cornbread.
You can see it kind of looks a little bit like fried chicken crumbs. I don't like to render it out so much that your cracklings are completely hard.
Once the fat is finished cooking, Misty strains the cracklings from the lard. She then pours the lard into a glass mason jar, where it'll sit on the counter for several days, turning from a golden liquid into a white solid.
It's a lost art. I mean, you go to the store and you can buy processed lard out of containers, but you never see it change form. You never see it go from this slick white pink to a dark gold liquid and then turn back into a solid, beautiful white color in a jar. So to see something change form is kind of like watching a caterpillar change into a butterfly.
Misty now shares this artful process with others in a Facebook group that she started back in April.
Hey guys, it's me. Yesterday we killed a hog, so today I'm just rendering out lard on top of lard on top of lard. So, it's never a dull day. Never.
In the group, Misty posts tutorials that explain traditional skills, like how to butcher a hog and render the lard. For Misty, these are things she'd be doing regardless, but because of the pandemic, she's had extra time.
I was out of work. And I had time, and I was doing this stuff anyways. And I'm like, okay, well, I can post, you know, some of what I do. And then people, like, took up and were
interested. Misty has a lot of skills to remain self-sufficient. And the pandemic has created an opportunity for her to teach them to others, the way she learned from her family growing up.
So, that's all you do. I mean, there's work and labor put into it, but you know what you have. You know how it's been done.
Misty now has close to 500 members in her Facebook group. She not only shares how-to videos and recipes, she also sells items she makes, like soaps, salves, and balms made from hog lard. For Inside Appalachia, I'm Nicole Musgrave in Floyd County, Kentucky.